Since his directorial debut in 1975 with the Charles Bronson movie Hard Times, Walter Hill has racked up an impressive assortment of action films, including The Warriors, Streets of Fire, 48 Hours, and last year's Trespass. But he's only made one Western, the 1980 film The Long Riders. Now Hill returns to the Old West with Geronimo, an American legend. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review.
If those huge red rock formations and sage-salted dunes look familiar, that's because we've been here before, with dozens of Western movie makers since the golden age of John Ford. The scene is the area around Moab, Utah, and the setting looks familiar in other ways, too. There's the 6th Cavalry dressed in blue, for instance, and there are the Apaches eyeing them warily from a distant mesa. So what new changes will Walter Hill ring on the old themes? The answer comes as a bit of a surprise. He makes them boring. How can you go so wrong with a story as thrilling as Geronimo's? He was, after all, the last Apache leader to surrender to the white men who had invaded and confiscated Indian lands. The movie begins as Geronimo turns himself in to Lieutenant Charles Gatewood, played by Jason Patrick. He brings Geronimo back to the fort to confront Geronimo's old enemy, General George Crook, played by Gene Hackman. Crook is willing to make a deal with Geronimo. He'll let him go in peace as long as Geronimo and his tribe confine themselves to the Turkey Creek Reservation, where they'll give up the gun and farm corn. That arrangement works for a few months, but then an Apache medicine man, a dreamer, as the Indians call him, is murdered by the cavalry, and Geronimo and his band go on the warpath again. About midway through the hostilities, Geronimo meets with General Crook, and General Crook gives him a piece of his mind.
I knew Cochise. He was a king. He was a wise ruler of his people. I knew Vittorio. He was a proud leader. And I know Geronimo, who doesn't want to lead or rule or be wise. He just wants to fight.
I didn't start this trouble. The army killed the dreamer.
He was calling for war. If the medicine man had come in peaceably, he'd be alive. There's no excuse for taking up arms against the United States Army. The Army is the best friend that Chiricahua ever had. You know it, and I know it.
With all this land, why is there no room for the Apache? Why does the White Eye want all land?
That's Wes Studi as Geronimo. You may remember him as the perfidious Magua in The Last of the Mohicans. Here he spends most of his time looking ferocious and talking very, very slowly. In fact, everybody in this movie talks very, very slowly, and what they say is very, very predictable. It's all about how the White Eyes are unjust, and the Apache are a proud nation. And every now and then, Jason Patrick will step in to say, in his fake Virginia accent, "We're trying to make a country here. It's hard." Whenever the rhetoric lets up, Walter Hill directs his action scenes pretty well. He's especially good at making horses gallop at top speed from a standing start, and then stop on a dime. But the action scenes are relatively few, and the characters are so bland and stereotypical that they never draw us in. The whole movie seems to be happening very far away. It's as though you were watching it through a glaze that's two parts political correctness and one part weird lighting effects. There is a fascinating film to be made about Geronimo, not only about his war against the U.S. Army, but about his life in captivity, about his attempt to join the Dutch Reformed Church, from which he was expelled because he couldn't resist gambling, and about the way he cultivated his own legend. The real Geronimo lived to the age of 79. In this movie, he never comes to life at all.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.